So, a few weeks ago, Clay asked if I would preach, and my first thought was, oh, you're being serious. So, I have not taken a public speaking class since seventh grade, and I definitely do not feel qualified to preach, but I remembered back in January when I shared my call story at a summit for those who are beginning their path towards candidacy in the United Methodist Church, that I shared my call story. It was part of the process. And the very first reaction I got was, well, that'll preach. So here I am, now in a new and wonderful stage with amazing people, figuring it's time that you get to know who I am through my call story, and hopefully it'll preach. So when I was 15 years old, I was sure I had everything figured out. Yeah, okay. So most of that was wrong, but there was one thing that I had figured out that I still to this day believe was right. You see, at 15, I had just finished working at a camp for individuals with autism, and I had had a wonderful camp buddy. He was probably 9 or 10 years old, and his name was Hunter. And he just wanted somebody to be able to connect with and not have it be so hard. So we had a wonderful time, and through that, compounded with other life experiences, I decided at 15 that the whole purpose of life was to help others and to make others' lives better through your work. From then on, I was inspired to go into medicine. My mom works in the medical field, and the betterment of others' lives was very apparent in her day-to-day work. So I went on to a national leadership forum on medicine where I learned to intubate, drill into bones, start IVs, sat in on an anatomy class at Harvard. I was really well set up to go into medicine, and my family was very proud. And at the end of high school, I started looking into colleges. And a small, quiet voice in my head said, maybe you should consider schools with really good music therapy programs. And I liked music. And I really liked helping people. In the end, though, I decided on Centenary College in Shreveport, Louisiana, because of their very small student-teacher ratio and their 98% acceptance rate into medical school. I decided that I wanted to be a doctor, and not just a doctor. I was going to be a pediatric neurosurgeon. And that way, I could help people, and I could help myself afford a higher mortgage, you know? Besides that, I wasn't good enough to have a career in music. Only really talented people, which I was convinced I was not, could make a living in music. So at Centenary, I auditioned for the choir, just expecting it to be another extracurricular, and for fun, added a music minor. And I anticipated that at my time at Centenary, I would become a well-rounded individual and work my way towards becoming a pediatric neurosurgeon who happened to like music. And I found neuroscience really interesting and strongly, strongly desired the status and success that came with being a doctor, but started to find that I wasn't really being fulfilled. So at Centenary, they have this process where usually your sophomore year, you have to go in to meet with counselors and do professional discernment. So my sophomore year, I go in for professional discernment, and I realized I don't think I'll ever be fulfilled if I'm just continuing down a road that maybe I'm not truly passionate about. So as happenstance would have it, the neuroscience department fell apart. The head of the department left, and my advisor was the dean of the School of Music, and she said, why don't you take this sacred music class? And I was like, oh, all right, that sounds okay for me. So the class was led by the director of the Centenary Choir, who has since become one of my mentors. And the roster was probably 90% choir students. So it was a good time. And in that, I found that my greatest source of joy and how I best connected with my faith was through music. I had never been more connected to my beliefs than when I heard them expressed in music. Sure, I'd gone to church intermittently. Actually, after I got confirmed, I was in the nursery the whole time, hence I'm good with babies. So I was baptized and confirmed, but I'd never experienced anything like this sacred music class. It really was my own personal epiphany. In this class, I truly heard the words of the Methodist Communion Liturgy. We offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's sacrifice for us. This, along with Wesley's covenant prayer, illuminated a path for me that I had never considered. But Christ gave everything for me, so how could I not respond accordingly? I was gifted with a talent and a passion for music, and I was surrounded by the most fantastic people I'd ever met in my life, and I was allowed to make incredible music with them. They loved and supported me, proving that no matter how quirky I was or what major I decided to work towards, I was still a valuable member of the group. All of this equated to my life being gently nudged onto another path, a path that I had no experience with and was absolutely terrified of, but this path, as I see it now, would be the best and surest thing that I have. I love creating music with others. I believe music connects our souls to God and to ourselves and to others more than anything else that we have on this earth. Music aids in our attempts to express everything, sorrow, joy, praise, thanksgiving. My 15-year-old self would have never considered a career in church music, not because she didn't believe music couldn't help others, but she just didn't recognize that she could be an instrument for the Spirit to move through. I've since found a way to give my life purpose through serving others and making their lives better through my work. The drive for success and status that I once clung to are still there, but they've been gracefully transformed into a desire to achieve the status of servant leader and the success of creating worshipful spaces where individuals are moved closer to their faith. I've always been moved by the quote, "Be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire." I think that God has equipped me with the kindling for that fire, and that it's my responsibility to devote my life to sharing the light and warmth that radiates from it with others. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But that fire that I just mentioned, I think God placed it there from the beginning. We were created by God for a purpose, and thus, I believe, there's a spark of the divine within all of us. Here's the important thing about my story and my calling. I would still be living a life of ministry, even if I weren't in a church. Allowing space and flexibility to be led by God into a place where what you do aligns with your passions and your talents is you living out your purpose and being in partnership with the Holy One. We pray for this partnership every time we take communion as a response to Christ's sacrifice for us. We say, "Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood." In our scripture today, Paul goes on to write to the church at Corinth, starting in verse 14. "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" A life of ministry can be achieved by the seamstress who alters your clothes, the construction workers working on the roads, the teachers, the accountants, the engineers, the government representatives, law enforcement, and beyond. Without these varying gifts, our society would cease to function. The same holds true for your place in the body of Christ. Your distinct ministry offers something that no one else's can. A life of ministry is not confined to the church or nonprofit work. Your life's purpose is found where your passions and your talents meet, and where that spark of the divine is kindled to a bright flame. This flame can brighten any good situation and keep us warm through life's coldest and darkest times. There is a danger in losing sight of our special and specific place within the body of Christ, and when we fail to see the divine within us. It's a lonely and heartbreaking place that can take hold of our hearts and keep them hostage for a devastatingly long amount of time. As some of you may know, Yesterday ended National Suicide Awareness Week. This week, in reflecting on those lost to suicide, can weigh heavily on us, myself included. Last year, I lost a wonderful friend. Her name was Chelsea, and she was my first role model in the choir. She was smart, compassionate, beautiful, funny. She was literally Miss Shreveport. And most importantly, she was always herself. She showed me it was okay to be silly and let your quirks come through. People will still love you. After college, she moved to New York and chased her Broadway dream. In August of 2017, when she was 27, she suffered a terrible stroke. She tried to remain positive, but ultimately, the frustration of not being able to do what she used to wore her down completely. Something drastically changed her life, and she could no longer see the purpose of her life or map where her passions met her altered talents. She no longer felt the warmth and spark of the spark within her. So, when listening to sermons, we often look for more than just inspiration. We need a call to action. So here's your first call to action today. Hear these words. You are God's beloved, with whom he is well pleased. God created you as an integral part of the body of Christ. Secondly, as an integral part of the body of Christ, you have been imbued with a spark that cannot be taken away, no matter the circumstances. With this comes responsibility. Use the radiance from your flame to illuminate the love of God in you, so that you may then hold a mirror to others, so that they can too see their inextinguishable flame that makes them a unique and beautiful part of the body of Christ, which is always needed to complete the whole. Amen. I now invite Martha to talk to us about the ministry of Touched by Suicide.